Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
Hey, students, if you're speaking during this part, you can go ahead and make your way up here. So this was my 13th youth camp with the Heights Fellowship. We had like an order for you guys to sit, but it's already been ruined, so just sit down. This is a picture of Joy and I at our first... There it is. At our first youth camp with the Heights Fellowship, my son Barrett was barely a year old. My daughter wasn't born yet. And then here is a picture from a few weeks ago at our most current youth camp. And my son's now going to be a freshman, and he's taller than me. And I also look way more tired. There was a night at youth camp called Dynamic Duo Night, and Joy and I dressed up as Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. We just pretended to be them, though. I mean, they said it was okay. And here's a picture. Barrett begged to take this picture with us. We actually sat there for about an hour and just had random students come and take pictures with us. They sat in the middle, though. Only Barrett got to sit on my knee. And although it's harder for me to recover every year after youth camp, it's just harder and harder to sleep in those bunk beds and eat the camp food. But that's not why I love youth camp, by the way. I love it because of the things that God always does. And this year at youth camp, we did something that I probably should have started a long time ago, but we didn't allow students to bring technology at all. No cell phones, no iPads, no Kindles, nothing. And we didn't see any withdrawal symptoms. No one was on the ground convulsing. No one really even complained. In fact, what ended up happening is we got to just watch kids be kids. And so I sat under a shade tree for about an hour and a half, which I know just sounds like such an old man thing to do. But I sat under this tree and watched junior, senior boys. You saw some of the videos of them on the drift trikes. I watched them for an hour and a half, like little kids, ride the drift trike down the hill, run back up and smiling and just do it over and over and over for an hour and a half. And so we loved getting to see kids be kids, but we also, it wasn't just because we didn't want them to have their phones and we wanted them to be kids, but we wanted to remove the distraction. We had so many parents tell us, oh, I'm so glad that you guys are doing this. But what I don't think parents realize is you need it just as much as your kids need that distraction removed. When we constantly have that distraction in our pocket, anytime our brain begins to wander and we get bored, we grab it right away. And we're just staring at it. And so I think that there's a spiritual thing that's happening behind the scenes there. Like, technology's here to stay, and I'm glad it is. I'm a tech nerd. I love the newest things. Every time a friend texts me Apple's new thing, I'm like, man, I just bought this. So I love technology. But we can't deny that it's often forming us in very unhealthy ways. And so this summer at camp provided students an opportunity to kind of rebel against the way that it's often forming us. So this is as close as we're going to get to a sermon this morning, and then you're going to hear from lots of people about the things that have been going on. But I think that this is true of all of us. We aren't necessarily being formed into bad people. We're being formed into distracted people, which actually can be worse. So C.S. Lewis talked about this decades ago in a book called The Screwtape Letters, which is a fictional collection of letters between demons. I always lead with that because I quoted this before and students were like, where did they find these letters between demons? Like, who found these? It's like, well, it's a fictional book. But the senior demon Screwtape is writing letters to his nephew, Wormwood, teaching him how to tempt people and to get them to fall away from the faith. And this young nephew, Wormwood, is upset that he can't get the person who he calls his patient to do really evil, bad things. And so this is what Screwtape tells him. He says, doubtless, like all young tempters, you're anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy, who is God. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. And here's what this line right here is the one that gets me, because this is written decades before cell phones and social media. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. And if he was to write it now, I think he would say murder is no better than cell phones if cell phones are just fine. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. So Satan does not need us to be bad people if he can make us distracted people who every time God tries to speak or to whisper or to get our attention, we just immediately grab what's in our pocket and we ignore it. And so this summer at youth camp, that was my favorite thing, was to see students play, to see them have fun, but to also see them be almost forced to deal with the way God was speaking to them, because there was no easy way to distract themselves from it. And so Tristan, right here to my right, here's a mic for you, Tristan. I actually have a picture of him from the mission trip, even though he's going to talk about camp. Here's a picture of him getting attacked by some of these kids. By the way, the kid in the back looked like he's just about to body slam you. Gosh, look at that grip. We have known Tristan since he was a crazy middle school kid. And do you know, like, you were crazy, man. Like, you were a crazy middle school kid. And we've got to see him grow up into who he is today. And he was at camp with us. He was at mission trip with us. But I wanted to ask Tristan, what was a highlight for you at youth camp?
One of the, on the funnier side, would be playing hacky sack with everybody. It was a pretty good group. It's mainly everyone in our youth group, or like a small group. And one of the more serious ones was church. concert of prayer. It was important to me just feeling God in the room, just how everyone was just worshiping God at the same time. There was no judgment, there was no shame. Everyone was feeling it. No one's problems or worries were in the room, and we were all connected. We were all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all just felt the same. Okay.
What's interesting about what he said is he loved this hacky sack game. That was one of the interesting things that we saw. Because they didn't have cell phones, they invent weird games. And I mean, hacky sack's been around for a long time, but of course they have to add, I mean, they're boys, so they have to add some form of violence to it. So if you drop the hacky sack, you have to run before someone hits you with it. So I played as well. I mean, it was fun. So Tristan, you've been a part of the youth group for a long time. How has being a part of this youth group been important to you? Or why has it been important to you?
To me, it's just been kind of like another place I can get, not necessarily get away from problems, but there's just been certain things growing up that have bothered me, and having Brandon and Ethan and Travis, Travis being my youth leader, it's been amazing. I couldn't have asked for a better youth leader. Those three men are people I look up to. I can always go to questions to ask about my spiritual faith or about anything. I can trust them with anything, or and my whole youth group, they treat me like family. Them three, they treat me like a son. It's a place I know I can go to with no hatred or any problems.
See how good you did?
Tristan, you can pass the mic to Summer. This is Summer Hahn. She's one of our new friends at Youth. And Summer, I got to be her small group leader at camp this year, and we just got to know each other better. And Summer, on the very first night of camp, I asked all the girls in our small group to identify where they were in their faith. We've got to know where we are so we know where we want to go. So, Summer, what did you say that night?
I said that I felt like I was going in the right direction because, especially in the last 6 months, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a military brat, and I moved here just barely over 2 years ago. And when I moved here, it was really hard for me. And I feel like a lot of things have been taken from me, and I felt like my faith had really hit the gutter and everything, and I was so focused on me and everything. I was so sad and mad, and I didn't realize the Lord's calling to me. But then I started going to this church and youth, and it just felt like a calling to me, and it really felt like the Lord had pulled me out of the hole I was in. So I really do believe now I'm going in the right direction.
So, Summer, what did God do for you at camp? What did God do for you at camp?
I feel like he really opened my eyes even more and showed me just how special and grateful it is and amazing it is to follow him and how to be more like him each day and everything. That's something I'm really still striving to do. And he just really opened my eyes to how great everything is when you follow him, and to really, no matter how down I get or how sad I get and when things go wrong in my life, just to follow and trust in him, and it really has really helped and opened my eyes.
That's awesome. And what are we celebrating today, Summer?
I'm getting baptized today.
So exciting. One of the things that I was telling Summer when we were just preparing for today was when she shared that first night of camp about how she felt like so much had been taken from her. The verse that came to my mind is how the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that we would have life to the full. And at camp, I got to see Summer walk in the abundance of Jesus, and her whole face changed. And so that was really a privilege to watch, and really grateful for you and to have you a part of our youth group.
So on the last day of youth camp, we're all very tired. The AC wasn't working in my room, which is a first world problem, I know, so I was very hot. The girls didn't even have AC in their room, but I don't care. Like, I had it in mine. It wasn't working. It was during the morning Bible study, which was an hour long, and they finally turned the AC on in the auditorium, and they had seated us right next to the floor vents, so it was nice and cold, and all the students were asleep during the Bible study. And so I'm a leader. I did not wake them up. I left and went and got cappuccinos for myself and Joy and Travis. But here's what I thought was so interesting is they're asleep during the Bible study, but right after Bible study, we entered into this 2.5 hour thing called Concert of Prayer, which is 9 or 10 worship songs, and every worship song is in between is this prayer prompt. Someone comes up and says, hey, we're gonna pray for this, and then students gather in groups of 3 or 4 and pray together. And you would think that, oh, they're probably gonna sleep during that too, but every single student was awake. Some of them were very emotional, some of them weren't emotional, which is fine, but they were all praying together, talking with people they hadn't normally talked to. They were very engaged. I even had students come up that were just asleep, and they were saying, why isn't this longer? Why aren't we doing this more? And so what struck me was, so often what we turn faith into is a sit and listen instead of be a part of what God wants to do. But when students and adults are connected to something greater than them, when they feel a purpose that's just beyond the normal everyday performance, like that's when they come alive. That's when faith really begins to click. That's why like mission trips and this concert of prayer thing, those turn into these really defining moments where faith kind of turns a corner and then they never look back. And so we've seen that happen with this mission trip we've done the last 2 spring breaks called Launchbox. And so there are some students up here that are going to talk about that.
This is Naomi. I bet Naomi has some 3-year-old friends in the room today. Miss Naomi is one of their favorite people. But last year's Launchbox trip was a huge turning point for you, Naomi. It's going to be a spiritual marker for you. This year was Naomi's 2nd year to go. She also went as a 7th grader. But Naomi, your faith really came alive that week. We saw you grow so much. You became so much more bold in reaching out to people and sharing your faith. So I would just like for you to share with us, why was Launchbox such an important and meaningful trip for you?
I definitely say that Launchbox was so impactful for my life. Before the trip, I was so anxious. Like, I was just praying every time I would open my Bible, and I was asking God for courage. And even now, like, it takes a lot of courage for me to be up here, because if any of you know me, I'm very shy and reserved, so this is like crazy that I'm up here. But I just prayed for that courage, and then once we got there and I kind of like saw the kids and got to meet them, all the fear faded away, and I was overwhelmed with courage and peace. And I started to hang out with all these kids from different backgrounds, getting to know them, and I just felt the Spirit of God just moving. And it's so hard to share your faith, because you have a fear of getting criticized, made fun of, rejected. But in that moment, like, all of it faded away. And I was overwhelmed by the Spirit of the Lord. And it gave me a new perspective of what it means to put your faith in God. And the first time we went, I talked to my dad before, and he told me that there are some times when, like, we do some new things that God, it's kind of like a test. It's a chance for us to put our trust in him fully and completely, and that's what this was. And I've never experienced anything like it, and it was amazing, and I'm so grateful for it.
Also, Naomi is full of courage when it comes to leading kids' camp worship songs. You would never know she was shy when she was up here dancing at camp. So that's so fun to watch, too. Naomi, do you have, like, one specific thing that you'd like to share about this year's trip?
Yes, me and Avon, actually, we got to hang out with these really sweet friends. The main 2 people that we got to meet were Adeline and Baylal. Baylal was Muslim. He was so sweet, and he was so full of joy. Both of them were. And we played tag, and then we played this jail game, and it was so much fun. But it was the last day that really stuck with me. We were saying goodbye, and it was very emotional. There were tears everywhere, and it was so hard saying goodbye. I just wanted so badly to stay with them longer, to build these relationships, share the gospel, and just be with them. Be that person that they could hold on to and that they could spend time with and just have fun. As we said goodbye, I just popped into my mom's mind. I was like, I think that prayer is so powerful. And as soon as we got in the vans and we started leaving, I knew that even though I wasn't there in person anymore, I could still be with them through prayer. So I made it my goal to pray for them as much as I could. For many of you that didn't go on the mission trip, even just praying for them is so impactful, and it's so meaningful, and it's such a blessing to know that we have so many people cheering us on and praying over us. And I would just ask y'all to continue to pray for those kids and to continue to pray for the people going out, even if it's just to the grocery store, to build relationships and spread the gospel. And I made it my goal to continue to pray for them. I'm not perfect. I obviously don't remember or don't feel like praying for them every day, but it's still so powerful, even if it's the smallest prayer. Even if it's just praying for their school year, praying for clothes, praying for them to have good friends, it's still so impactful. And that's just what I ask all of y'all, to continue to pray for them. I don't know if we're going back this coming year, but I would love to. And even if we don't go back, I pray that y'all would continue to pray for them.
Now, we heard, Avon, that when it was time to sign up for Launchbox, that you looked at your dad and you said, it's time to sign up. Don't miss the deadline. I want to go on this trip. And so, Avon, why is Launchbox a trip that you do not want to miss?
I think that it gives you the chance to share the gospel with people who may have never heard it before. And that helps you grow in your faith and your confidence so much. And it gives you the tools and the courage to go and share it with everyone wherever you go and share his joy. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned.
And this is our daughter, Annalie, and our family is moving into a really special season because for a lot of years we would leave our kids behind to go to camp and mission trips. And now we're to a place where we all get to go together. And so it's really fun to get to serve God together as a family, experience camp and mission trips together. But Annalie shared last year with you after Launchbox about a friend that she made. Her name is Patience. And Annalie, why don't you tell us what you did as soon as we pulled up to the apartments at Launchbox this year?
I went straight back to her apartment and was hoping that she was still there, and she was, and we got to hang out all week, and she actually got to help me share the gospel, because when I taught her the three circles, anytime someone would ask me, she'd ask to teach them instead of me teach them. So.
And now Annalie and Patience have just a really sweet friendship, and they talk on the phone at least once a week, and so it's just been really cool to see their friendship grow too from something like Launchbox. So Annalie has this sweet little friend from Zimbabwe, and so it's cool to get to follow her family. But thank you for praying for our students on our mission trip at camp. And we're going to bring the band back up for another song as we transition to baptisms after worship. So, Brandon, would you just pray for us as we go back into worship?
God, thank you for what you're doing in the life of the Heights Fellowship, that you are moving in this church, that people are choosing to follow you. God, thank you for these students that are up here, the way you've been working in their lives and just how they're even able to articulate that, which can sometimes be so difficult. God, we thank you for what you are doing, and we celebrate what you are doing. Amen.
All right, so now we're going to shift and start talking about Mission 2540, which is just a really incredible opportunity that our church has started to be able to partner with. So I want to tell you just a little bit about it before you get to meet these awesome guys up here and hear from them. But Mission 2540 was founded in Amarillo in 2004, and they strive to live out the call from Matthew 2540 to love the least of these. They do special outreach events and after-school and summer activities for kids in apartment complexes. And right after the start of 2025, their founder contacted me and asked if our church would be willing to partner with them to work with some apartment ministries here in Lubbock. And so since then, our church has provided and packed hundreds of snack bags for these kids, which is amazing. We send a team every Monday and Wednesday to serve kids at the apartments. And these guys are part of that team, but we have several other amazing volunteers who also go and serve those kids every week. In August, we're going to help with some back-to-school block parties at the apartments, and we're hoping to provide backpacks and school supplies for the kids that we serve there. So you'll have a chance as a church to be a part of what we're doing with that ministry. But now you get to hear from these guys and what it has meant for them to be a part of that.
Yeah, let me introduce you to these guys. This is Jake Setzler. Jake, you're going to be a senior. This is Landon Kerbo, also going to be a senior. And then this is Chris Kerbo, not going to be a senior. It's a different kind of senior, yeah. Senior adult. Chris, Chris Kerbo is just the man. He does not want to be up here. Which is what I love, that which means he should be. Chris is someone that just seeks to abide in the Word of God, and so I love to have conversations with him about Scripture because he knows it. He also knows American history very well, so be very careful if you bring any of that up because he might correct you. But Chris, here's my favorite thing about Chris. He serves people. He serves the least of these, and no one knows about it. So we started partnering with the ministry called Lubbock Impact like maybe 10 years ago, and we partnered adults with kids as mentors, and we stopped doing that maybe 6-7 years ago, but Chris still meets with his kid. Chris is involved in a prison ministry called Kairos. I think you guys say Kairos. Yeah, it's pronounced Kairos. Just if you want to correct them, you can, but.
He likes to search.
Yeah. He's also been involved in the apartment ministry we're doing, and Joy has told me one night she was there, and Chris had this massive Circle K cup, and he just let these kids take it and drink it, and then he's teaching them how to throw a baseball because he was watching them. He's like, no, that's not how you throw a baseball, son. Come here, let me show you how to do this. And so I just love that Chris is following in the way of Jesus like that, because here's what should be countercultural about Christianity. You don't have to be noticed. You just have to be faithful. But that goes against the grain of our culture, because if you pray for someone and don't get a prayer selfie, like, did it happen? I'm supposed to post this so I get noticed. And yet Jesus says, when you give or when you serve, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Do it in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's this way of hidden faithfulness. And I love, it's one of my favorite things about Chris, that he just serves faithfully, and he never posts it. I mean, he's old. He may not know how to. But still, he doesn't post it. He's not seeking recognition, and he's just faithful. And so, Chris, my question for you is, why do you keep saying yes to the least of these? Why do you keep showing up and doing that?
Well, I mean, the ministry is named after Matthew 25:40, which, if you read that whole section, it's talking about, you know, going to the prison, you know, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry. And I was reading through the Oswald Chambers book that you give to the youth every year. I think y'all still do as their graduation present, or used to, the utmost for his highest. And it's not the Bible, but you can read it along with it during your devotional. But we just went through a verse this last week, or a passage, where he says, you're not doing these things for Jesus. You're doing them to Jesus. And that's what the whole Matthew 25:40 is. When he says you do these things, you're doing them to me. You know, when did I ever see you, Jesus, hungry and in prison? He said, but when you do those things, you're doing them to me. And so you do it in adoration to the Father. You do it in adoration to the Savior. You know, when Jesus saved us, he was just following the will of the Father. And our salvation came as a byproduct of that. And so by us just being faithful and going out and doing the next right thing that God leads into our path, it's not a coincidence that these things come up. God's, if you feel like you need to be going and do that, go and do that. And then just see how God works through that. And I tell you, the reason why I keep going to the Kairos and stuff, and a lot of times I'm just like the parable of the vineyard worker, you know, the two sons, and one's like, I don't want to do that. I've got so much to do. And then the other guy's like, yeah, I'm going to go do that. He doesn't do that. The one that brings favor to God is the one that actually goes and does it. But you get a huge blessing. And when you do this over time, you build a legacy. But that legacy is supposed to be given to the Lord. You know, when he rewards you, if you, like you were talking about Matthew 6, not to let the right hand know what the left hand's doing, we do those things to bring the Father glory and to give those things, to lay those crowns at his feet. Because at the end of the day, it's not Chris Kerbo that wants to go and do these things. I don't really like going to prison. I love the guys there, and they're happy to see us, and I love the people I serve with, just like I love you guys in the church. But it's we're doing it because Jesus lives inside of me. That's why I want to do it. It's not because my flesh wants to do it.
Chris, thank you for sharing that. Well, this is Chris's son, so we'll see how this next part goes. But Landon and Jake are some of my favorite people. They don't dress this way just like normally. This was at camp. It was dynamic duo night. It was actually a trio. That's Tristan with them. This is from Talladega Nights. Is that right? Yeah. Shake and bake. And then they went right after this, they went and did the drift trikes, you know, just to keep it consistent. Landon and Jake, one of my favorite things about them is they decided, you know what, I'm going to take scripture seriously. This is important to me. I'm going to take it seriously. And so they're leading Bible studies on their own. And there's a student that, this just happened last week, that can't come on Wednesday nights because of other commitments. And I said, well, we've got these junior and senior boys that are leading Bible studies. Let me find out when it is. And they gave me three options. They have three of them. Because it's multiplying and they're trying to get it in different places. And that's not normal for a high schooler to do that kind of thing. And so they're taking the word of God very seriously. And the entire time I've been the youth pastor at the Heights Fellowship, the junior, senior boys, that's when students check out. But these boys are in a small group that has 20 to 25 junior, senior boys on a Wednesday night, which has never happened before. Their small group leader, Travis Cooper, is one of the reasons that it's like that. But these guys are also one of those reasons. And so what I wanted you to hear from them, especially if you're a student in the room or you're younger, is how has studying God's word changed you guys? I'll let you go first.
All right. I believe just studying God's word, it gives you so much unknown knowledge. Like, I listened to a podcast, it's called The Untold Wisdom. All the wisdom you're told in the world, you gotta unlearn. It's called Unlearn Wisdom, sorry. You gotta unlearn that wisdom to learn that wisdom. And I believe, you know, if you would have saw me 10 months or 8 months ago, and you'd be talking to me like, dude, like, you're a Christian or something, and it's cool because you get to see, like, I talk to people, we were all in Austin's apartment talking, and I was just like, dude, I don't even know how these things are coming to my mind. It was like, since November, things we hear, but you just gain up all this knowledge from reading the word, and the way we do our Bible studies, it's, you have to apply it to your life before you move on to the next area. And when you move on, you know, it kind of sticks with you better. And that's what I love about it. And it's helped me so much.
Yeah, I would just say, I guess, yeah, being in the Word, it really, it's like the backbone of my faith. It's where I can always go back to and just, like, recap. And always getting to read it with, like, all my buddies around, it's awesome. And I really love it. So
I forgot to show this picture of me and Landon. This was Redneck Night. Yeah. So and also the guy on my left, he got a little too redneck with the overall, so I had to blur that out. But we'll put this picture back up. So Jake and Landon were also on the mission trip with us. They serve in the apartment ministry, and they took the most challenging task on as well, the final boss, and they served at kids camp all week last week. And so last question for you guys is, how have you grown in your faith, not just reading the Bible and knowing these things, but also serving other people?
A lot for serving. Oh, sorry. I feel like when you, it's a almost, when you serve other people and you teach them, it's an exchange both ways. A lot of people don't understand that, I feel like. And it's almost like you pray, like if you pray and like start preaching to yourself, you'd start learning things. You're like, oh my gosh, I need that. So when somebody come up to me with their question, you'd be like, well, I got to search to help you figure out your question. And then when you start searching, the Holy Spirit just leads and you start saying things. You're like, oh, wow, that's what I need to hear in my life. And when you help others, and it not only does it make you feel needed, because that was a big thing for me in the mission trip, just helped me being felt like I was needed to come and serve God, and that I was just to give love to people. That was, you know, that's what you're supposed to do as a follower of Christ. I think when you do that, you get an overwhelmness of love and knowledge and care for everybody.
Yeah, I would say for me, serving, I love serving people. It's great. I've always kind of been taught to put other people before me. And serving people is just, it's one of those things, it's kind of rewarding because you get to see the Lord move like right in front of you, and it's great. And you know, this past week at kids camp, I had an awesome group, and I had some kids asking some awesome questions, and I thought it was great. Some of them I didn't even know the answer to, which was, it's honestly surprising at their age. But I loved it, and I just think it's awesome, like the opportunities that I've been given to serve. And just, it's really grown my faith, yeah.
So that was a great transition, because now we're going to watch a video about kids camp, and we can get this picture off the screen.
So the church looks like it's in pretty good shape today. It survived a pretty amazing week at camp. I want to give you some quick stats, because if you didn't see it, you'll have a hard time believing everything that happened in here. We had 112 campers, 38 counselors, 8 track time leaders, a service project where the kids prayer walked McWhorter Elementary School and made over 100 back-to-school goodie bags for the 5th graders there. Hours of fun activities, Bible study, at least 2 decisions to follow Jesus, and many more who are ready to talk about next steps in following him. So please pray for us as we follow up with them this week. And then a tired but very grateful THF staff. We had an amazing week, and I have a couple of my friends up here to help us recap the week. So Blaine, lead us off.
On Monday, we learned to love one another just like Jesus loves us.
On Tuesday, we learned to be kind to others, just like Jesus welcomed the children.
On Wednesday, we learned to forgive one another. Jesus changed everything when he forgave our sin.
On Thursday, we learned to serve one another like the early church.
That's it. That was awesome. We were discovering how, yes, y'all did great. How to love like Jesus all week, and these kids and our staff did an amazing job. So real quick, Blaine, what was your favorite part of camp?
I'm playing Gaga ball and learning about Jesus.
Thank you for throwing Jesus in there. I appreciate that.
My favorite part of camp was getting to spend time with people I don't really get to spend time with and making a lot of great new friends.
Scavenger hunt and Max Air.
Scavenger hunt and Max Air. You didn't catch that.
Water slides and getting wet.
Water slides and getting wet. So we had a blast. Thank you to all of you who gave food and your time and brought your kids and prayed for us. We had an incredible week. It was the best camp yet, wouldn't you say? I'd say so. All right, so you guys grab a seat. We're going to wrap this up, land the plane today. Band, if you want to come up, we've got one more song that we're going to close with here in just a second. But church, I just want to remind you, Psalm 16 talks about how the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. It is for this time in history that your kids are alive. Kids, you are made for the job. You are made to be alive right now, to share the good news of Jesus in your schools, in your activities. Students, we feel the same about you. But church, you are in your jobs for such a time as this. God is writing a beautiful story for you. The last song that we're going to sing is called Revival Generation. And today you have gotten to hear and witness all that God is doing in the next generation at the Heights Fellowship. We could have had a dozen more students up here sharing with you all that God is doing. So church, this is a new song for you, but would you stand and would you just sing it over the kids, the students that are sitting around you? We are believing that this is going to be a revival generation, and we will continue to share the good news of Jesus until every tribe, every tongue, every nation declares that he is Lord, and you are invited to be a part of that. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org, and we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.